Goodman. Join me September 11th at Cooper Union's Great Hall with Juan Gonzalez, WBAI's Bernard White, jazz legend Charlie Hayden and his Liberation Music Orchestra, folk singer Dar Williams, Tony Award-winning actor Sarah Jones, poet Suher Hamad, my brother journalist David Goodman, hopefully Susan Sarandon, and maybe even Jack Black. It's Democracy Now!'s 10th anniversary. The event is at 7:30 p.m., pre-event reception at 5:30, where you can get a signed copy of our new book, Static: Government Liars, Media Cheerleaders, and the People Who Fight Back. This event is a joint WBAI Democracy Now! Benefit. That's Monday, September 11th at Cooper Union's Great Hall at 3rd Avenue and 7th Street, Astor Place, here in Manhattan. Let's break the sound barrier together with Voices of Peace.
And you're listening to WBAI New York, and what you're hearing, well, what just got cut off, yes, what you're hearing in the background is illegal. It's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, the bombs was the best effect for worse. I hope that's understood. But did it move?
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, coming live from a very unusual setting tonight. No, actually, we're right here in the studio, but we're connected. We're connected online to something that the U.S. government really does not want you to hear. In fact, it'll go to great lengths, putting people in prison for daring to share this information with people. And yes, as threatened, because of all the craziness of the last few weeks, we have a simulcast of Al Minhar in the background. This is live, coming to you from Lebanon, the voice of Hezbollah. Oh, my God. Anybody who wants to leave at this point is free, too. I will think nothing less of you if you do.
Oh, people are walking in.
People are walking in. Okay, well, that's the kind of attitude we like to see here at WBAI. And a very good evening to one and all, starting with Mike.
Hi.
And you're not afraid of this, are you?
No, it's kind of annoying.
It is kind of annoying. We'll turn it down a little bit. And usually they don't do this. Usually it's a lot of talking. But you can understand that even less. And Redbird is here.
Good evening.
As well as Arseny.
Hi there.
And I believe Red Hack is joining us tonight.
I made it.
Good for you. Good for you.
I'm sorry, I was out of the country.
Out of the country?
Yeah.
Out of your mind, you mean. But we'll get into that. Kevin is also here.
Hello.
I understand you lost power almost all of last week or something.
Not just power.
Uh-huh.
Internet, television, and phones.
And cellular phones, you mean?
Everything.
Wow. So what have you been doing?
I've been waiting in my room.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I guess there's a lot of that going on.
I'd say you should read a book, but you need light for that.
Bernie S. joins us from Philadelphia.
Yes.
How's Al Minhar sounding over the telephone lines?
It's rather melodic, but I don't know what they're saying.
Well, do you really need to know what they're saying? I mean, a lot of that rock and roll music that comes out, you don't know what they're saying.
That's true. That's actually one of the hallmarks of rock and roll music, is to make it intentionally hard to understand.
Mm-hmm. And it's the melody. The melody is what carries the tune.
Yeah.
And, oh, Jim, you're here, too.
Crikey, I say.
That's right. Not very nice.
No, it's not.
What do you mean it's not nice? I mean, I'm remembering somebody with his catchphrase.
Yeah, I guess. What was Diana's catchphrase?
I have no idea.
All right, well, why don't you look into that and get back to us. But we are doing this right now, sort of a protest to show that this is easy to get a hold of. A couple of weeks ago, this guy in Staten Island named Javed Iqbal was arrested because he was accused of helping people to receive the broadcast of Al Manar. And this television station has been designated by the U.S. government as a global terrorist entity. Now, that may all be fine and good, and they may not be very nice people, but to arrest somebody simply because he helped people to receive a signal through the air that I assume there was no financial transactions. We did a little research on this over the past week. And I believe, am I right, Bernie, in saying that this is a free-to-air service?
Yeah, well, it apparently is not available free-to-air now, but it was earlier. In fact, both Redbird and I were present at an event in March of this year, as was Junt, where Al Manar was being received from a one-meter dish on the roof of the two-story hotel that we were in Culpeper, Pennsylvania, and Al Manar was being received.
It wasn't such a big deal then.
No, it was like, oh, well, man. Yeah.
Well, I mean, according to something that was posted, this Al Manar is supposed to be carried free-to-air on Arabsat 2B 30.5 East. Is there any update on that?
Yes, but it appears that unless you have a really sensitive receiving system with a large dish pointed practically at the horizon, you're not going to be able to pick that up in our part of the world. This was being carried on another, Al Manar was being carried on another satellite earlier this year, on a Dutch satellite, but they took a lot of heat for doing that and are no longer carrying it. But it's still carried free-to-air on Arabsat 2B, but it's hard to get in this country unless you have special equipment.
And, well, I imagine big dishes would be special equipment to many people.
True, but you can also get the live video and audio stream on the Internet, and I have the URL for that.
You want to read the URL? Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to read it slowly, but because it's a few characters long. I should have done a tiny URL for this, but I didn't. It is www.manartv.com.lb/newssite/manarlive.aspx?language=en, as in English.
You know, maybe someone could just make a tiny URL of that by the end of the show.
People can play back the archived edition off from OTH at from 2600.com/OTH. But yes, I will tiny URL it, but we'll have to announce it next week.
Well, unless somebody can figure out how to do it before the end of the hour.
There you go.
I think we can do it. You have a computer right there, don't you?
I just want to caution our listeners. You have to type the W's or it won't work.
And Manar is spelled M-A-N-A-R. Okay, enough publicity for them. It's just, it annoys me when certain things are deemed prohibited, and if you even attempt to listen or watch or see or investigate, all of a sudden you become the threat. Now, whether this guy had close, intimate ties with Hezbollah, I guess that's what the courts will find out, but I suspect this is just going to be another one of those cases that gets dropped, and we never hear when it does. Regardless, we generated quite a lot of interest with our listeners on this subject. Winston writes, Dear Off the Hook, regardless how you feel about censorship or the constitutionality of blocking Al Manar, you have to accept that it is not the Lebanese equivalent of the New York Times, as you mentioned on the show. That's a bad analogy. The station is an organ of Hezbollah. It is not independent. A better equivalent would be the Voice of America. Al Manar is the voice of Hezbollah. So the U.S. blocking the station is like Castro jamming Voice of America. My personal opinion is that probably independent but arguably biased news station like Fox or Al Jazeera should be left alone, but propaganda stations as an instrument of war can and should be blocked by those nations who oppose the originating country. Castro has a right to block VOA. We have a right to block Al Manar. What do you guys think of that?
I disagree.
Well, I mean, I don't really want to be a lot like Castro. Apparently, this reader does. and I just think, you know, let it be open to people to listen to whatever it is they want to listen to, whether it's on the shortwave, whether it's on the Internet, whether it's on satellite or over terrestrial broadcasting.
Emmanuel?
Yes.
there's a lot to be said for one thing that our president George W. Bush has been touting and arguing for over the past few years, and that is the freedom to explore the marketplace of ideas. And he's been trying to argue that there's, you know, justify the that there should be an open marketplace of ideas all over the world, primarily in his case, his ideas. But in any case, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of objectionable ideas coming from Ellen Menar, as there are maybe from our president's mouth. In any case, for there to be a free and open marketplace of ideas, there cannot be government censorship, and that's exactly what the U.S. has been trying to do in this case against this gentleman who simply was setting up people with inexpensive equipment so they could receive an over-the-air broadcast.
And I think nothing inspires people to listen to forbidden broadcasts more than being told that they're not able to. We wouldn't be broadcasting this right now were it not for this case. I'm sure a lot of people have never heard of Al Menar before and now are looking into it and maybe even like watching what they're saying.
We have the tiny URL.
You have tiny URL? Go ahead, read it.
tinyurl.com/HSNYM.
HSNYM.
Yes.
Okay, and that's tinyurl.com. Okay, and from that, you
can also just go to the first part, the domain, www.menartv.com.lb, and click on English.
Okay.
Without typing in all the rest.
Well, you'll see a lot of Arabic, so that might freak some of you out.
It's true. It is a little freaky, but if you click English, you'll be in English land.
Now, right now, there's a picture on their TV screen. By the way, we're doing this without their permission, so we could be really annoying Hezbollah and not paying them their copyright fees or whatever. I don't know. But the point is, they're over there, and we're over here, and it's important to understand these things. There's a picture of, looks like just a field with some trees, and the moon is over the sky, and the clouds are moving, and the lyrics to the song are being printed, and that's pretty much the whole thing that they have right now. I guess, what time is it now over there in Lebanon? Must be in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah.
So this is what they do late at night. Instead of infomercials, this is what they have.
Is it a follow the bouncing ball kind of thing where the words go by?
No, they just kind of like fade in and fade out. No, jovial bouncing balls or anything like that. There's a bug for the Al Menar station, I believe, up at the upper right-hand corner. There's some kind of statement, three words or so on the upper left, and then the lyrics in the middle on the bottom. But, you know, I would prefer this to infomercials. I would. Not on every channel, mind you, but I just infomercials are just one of those things. Okay, and Lisa also writes in with a URL that you might be able to connect and read more and see these things. www.islamicdigest.net/Al Menar, that's ALMANAR/start.php. And we've gotten that to work on a number of occasions. Okay, what else is going on in the world? We're going to leave this on in the background. I'll turn it down.
The whole show?
Too annoying. Is this annoying?
It is kind of annoying.
Is it frightening you?
Well,
I kind of
really
like it.
Afraid of the future?
Soothing.
Yeah. I mean, we could put on Pat Robertson. Would you feel more comfortable with that?
Mm.
No?
I'd have to say I don't really particularly like either of their ideologies.
Yeah, well, at least this is music. That's just noise. Okay, we got a little bit of mail from...
Yeah, I really regret that comment last week.
Well, we're not talking about this. We're talking about something else that we were mentioning, and that was the text messaging.
That was the comment.
All right, what was the comment that you made?
I asked you to clarify something that you read, which was sending text messages to landlines.
Mm-hmm.
And us in the studio were very ignorant of the fact that you can do this in other countries.
We remain ignorant to this day. We still find it preposterous and amazing and unconceivable that this can happen.
We would, however, like to thank the entire country of the United Kingdom for explaining this to us.
Yeah, apparently everybody there felt it necessary to straighten it out. okay, let's read a couple pieces of mail that people have sent us. Well, first of all, a story. Apparently British Telecom uses celebrity voices to deliver text messages. What you do is you send a text message to a landline. The landline rings, and then you hear this voice, a famous voice, supposedly reading your message to you. I don't know how exactly they do this or how choppy it sounds, and it would be nice to get a sample of this somewhere or somehow. But the story, which came out earlier this year, says BT is to offer people sending text messages to BT landlines the choice. This is well after they've been doing this feature. Now they have the choice of having them read out by a male or female voice. The new service, which is launched, actually was launched last May, will replace the voice of former Doctor Who Tom Baker, which was introduced at the end of January 2006 for a special three-month period. Yeah, you had Doctor Who calling you with the text messages. BT research shows that people need to think carefully when choosing a male or female voice to deliver their texts. 7 out of 10 people think male voices are better for telling jokes. Yeah, that's why people listen to us, I guess.
But
they don't take us seriously.
But the thing is, if you're... It doesn't matter 7 out of 10 people. If the person that you're sending it to is the 3 out of 10, you still want it.
Yeah, and you're not. They're not the one who gets to choose. You're the one who chooses.
Exactly.
The person sending.
Yeah.
Male voices were considered more powerful and better for disciplining children. Disciplining what? Children. Who would discipline their child by an SMS?
Yeah.
I don't know. Female voices were described as more comforting, truthful, and persuasive than male voices. I wonder if you can switch based on what you're saying from sentence to sentence. To date, more than 11 million text messages have been sent to landlines delivered in Tom's dulcet tones. It's 11 million. And we don't even know it's possible. BT Text allows people to send and receive texts on their home phones. Starting May 1st, users who insert *M# in front of any text to a landline will have their message read out by a male voice rather than the usual female voice. Texts can be sent to any UK landline and will automatically be delivered as spoken messages, unless the phone has been text-enabled, in which case they will be delivered as written text in exactly the same way as on a mobile phone. Users will still be able to send text messages for Tom Baker to read out until the end of, well, May, I guess, so that's no longer the case.
How well does this actually work? Because I know I get a lot of text messages that if a computer tried to read them, it just would be totally unintelligible.
It's not a computer doing it, though. It's a human voice, I guess, who has said all these words. So the question is intonation, choppiness, how does it sound? And I don't think anybody can send us a text message from the UK to an overseas line. Can you? You can try. If you want to try that, 212-209-2900 is our number, country code 1. Maybe we'll hear it sometime this hour. But every country in the world except ours seems to be able to do this.
Let me fill you in on some stuff going on that I was interested in with text messages. I was in Finland last week, mm-hmm. and one of the neat things that I saw there was you can, when you get on the tram or the bus in Helsinki, you can buy a ticket from the conductor, or you can just get on, send a text message mm-hmm. to a certain number, and then you get a code back, and if somebody, some conductor or something, checks it, then...
Yeah, when I was in Helsinki, we were going into the underground, the metro, whatever they call it, and a friend of mine was saying, yeah, I'll buy your tickets, and he was punching something on his cell phone.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's exactly how they
parking
work.
Parking, too. You can do parking.
But what happens if your battery dies? Then you're kind of out of luck, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the question I raised, and apparently nobody's battery ever dies over there.
No.
About 8 years ago, there was a service, and I can't remember the name of it, Free to Talk or something, but among its other things was that you could send a email to a specific address and give the phone number that you wanted, and it would send a short message along. So this is not totally alien to the U.S. I think if somebody checks the archives from 8 or 10 years ago, they can find me talking about this.
Yeah, but could you send something from a cell phone in text messages to any phone and not have to do anything else other than that? That's
you
the
had
thing.
To go through their 800 number,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and that much I know.
I mean, anybody can send a message if you go through their service. This seems to be something universal.
Yeah, you can get Samuel L. Jackson to call you for the snakes on the plane.
Yeah, that would be something if you can insert certain words. And that actually, that's how this whole thing started. We were talking about certain four-letter words that were not being sent to email. I noticed this on my T-Mobile phone, which apparently is not happening anymore. If I sent email from my phone to any account I had, I wouldn't get the four-letter word versions, or the four-letter word versions wouldn't get to my phone. And apparently, it makes sense if you're going to have Tom Baker calling you. You don't want him to be saying, you know, those kind of words to you.
Some people do want him to be saying that.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to say those words to start with so that, that they don't even exist. I don't know, but I could see why that might be of concern, so that would explain why they were suddenly blocking it, and maybe it just somehow went to the United States when it shouldn't have. Or, you know what, maybe that only happened to me when I was overseas. That's possible, too.
You don't remember what country you were in?
I just remember this was a couple of years ago that this happened. And
okay.
Maybe when I had my T-Mobile phone overseas, that's when I noticed that those... Because people were cussing at me, and they were sending me messages, and I wasn't getting them, and I was wondering why. Okay, that's one bit of the puzzle solved. The synthetic speech conversion is able to recognize and convert common text speech abbreviations. The female voice used in the message can even laugh, and in the future will be able to send musical jingles as part of messages, according to promises made by BT. Heaven help us, this reader writes. Also, BT Wholesale's trial of SMS to voice will establish any technical and process issues so that they can be resolved before a wider rollout. So I guess that's what we're waiting for, is the wider rollout. Now, BT also has a list of suggestions, 10 uses for SMS to voice. Number one, you know, all of these... Okay, that's the a cappella version, I guess. All right, we'll just keep that on low in the background. Here are some of the reasons. All these seem a little bit lame to me, but number one, for kids to tell their family they'll be out late. I guess.
You can't get a fight back.
Number two, sending a happy birthday message to your grandparents. Yeah, because they don't want to hear your voice. They want to hear Tom Baker's voice. Yeah, of course. Number three, to send a message to someone who can't text due to physical impairment.
That actually is a good reason.
Okay, but they can't text, but they can still read the
text.
Yeah, they can still read the text, can't they?
Not necessarily, but there are plenty of people who can pick up a phone. Blind people who don't have an adapter for their computer, the necessary software.
Yeah, but you know, they can't just talk back to Tom Baker when he calls.
No, but they can listen to it. If you can only listen, this is the message, the service that you want.
Okay, number four, kidnappers who wish to relay their demands.
Is that
and
seriously
be listened
in
to. Well, you don't think that's important to be able to relay the demands?
I don't
you
think
know
that's
how many
seriously
times
in
that
there
gets messed up, that demands don't get
you
relayed
know from experience
properly. I'm just telling you, that's always the major hang-up with any abduction, is getting the demands out clearly. All these copycat people, the media gets it wrong every time. Yeah, no, that's a problem.
Where were you Christmas 1996?
No, number four, actually, is telling the office receptionist you'll be late. Number five... Why can't you just call her and tell her you'll be late? Number five, ordering a takeaway when they're engaged. Now, for those of you who have no idea what I just said, what that means, takeaway is the same thing as takeout in this country, and engaged means the phone is busy.
Okay.
I love how the English language can confuse people who speak it. Number six, as a soft wake-up call. I don't know what's soft about it, but all right. Number seven, to teach someone how to pronounce a word. I guess... Tom Baker speaks the King's English, and maybe you can't pronounce it yourself. So,
if you're going to be bombing subways in Great Britain, this is an excellent service to learn how to say, "I would like a one-way ticket, please."
Very clever, Jim. That's arsenic.
So basically, this service is useless.
Well, we still have 3 more to go.
Oh, sorry.
We still have 3 more to go. This one of these could be the winner. Number eight, as a better way of telling jokes by mobile. Because we know all the other ways have not worked.
That way you don't have to deal with the dead silence on the other end.
No, you don't have to hear that at all.
Yeah.
And Tom Baker won't care.
Yeah.
Number nine, as a... Oh, this is the worst one yet. As a form of phone karaoke.
Oh, geez.
What?
Yeah. number ten... This is actually kind of good. Number 10, this is my favorite one. Admitting guilt without being shouted at. So those are the 10 uses for SMS to voice.
Well, I mean, okay, these are pretty funny, but this is so useless.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not useless to VT. They make a lot of money from this.
Well, I guess so, because there must be a lot of jokes being sent to people. But, I mean, what if we get this here? It's just, I can imagine picking up the phone, and it would be like some computer telling me something. You know, like, buy this, buy that. I mean, it already happens, but if the technology is more widespread, I'd imagine it would be everywhere.
Yeah. By the way, I just have to cut in here and say that Al-Munar has now switched from the sun or moon or whatever that was in the sky with the trees to military people running around with machine guns. Let's listen for a minute.
أنتم حضارتها وثقافتها وقيمها وعشقها وعرفانها. أنتم عنوان رجولتها. أنتم خلود الأرز في قمننا وتواضع سنابل القمح في وديانها. أنتم الشموخ وجبال لبنان الشامخة العاتية على العاتي والعالية على المستعلى. أنتم بعد الله تعالى الأمل والرهان.
Okay, that's maybe somebody can translate that and tell us just what it is they're saying. Maybe they found out that we're broadcasting their signal and they're saying something about us.
That sounds like inspirational Rocky kind of music.
Well, they're inspirational Rocky type people running around with machine guns in deserts. I don't know. Okay, continuing though with the SMS to voice. As I said, we got a lot of mail from all over the world. This from Wouter in the Netherlands. I have some comments on sending text messages to landlines. Here in the Netherlands, it's possible to do that. When you send an SMS to a landline, the operator, KPN, the phone company, calls the landline with an automated voice system that reads the SMS to you. I just tested this. It seems like nothing is filtered. And I don't know if they use a celebrity voice there or if they use some kind of computer voice of some sort. Okay, dear 2600, you're off the hook. I was listening to the show in my car, and I heard you mentioning about the text message to landline, how you never heard about it. In Canada, on the Rogers Network, you can text a message that will be sent to a landline number. When the person picks up the phone, it starts by mentioning this is a text-to-landline message from a customer on the Rogers Network, then tries to read out the message as texted. Obviously, acronyms like TTYL and such are either read incorrectly or spelled out. And it costs 50 cents Canadian per sent message. And that's from Luke. Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it?
Now, I'm curious to know how this feature works in bilingual countries like Canada or Belgium or where have you. How does it know what language to read in?
I would say you probably have to dial star, letter, pound to indicate language, maybe.
Oh, come on. It would look at the words because you're texting in the spaces, and I'm sure it could recognize them. Okay, it may say to the first one, this could be French, this could be English, but after it's got several of them, it can decide what language it is.
I don't know of a single service like that. If I type in a language, it's going to tell me what language it is? What does Google Language doesn't even do that.
There's some services on the web that can do that.
I'm pretty sure that you only have two choices.
But you know when you take a bunch of text and you give it to Google or AltaVista or something and say, translate this? You have to tell it what it is. You can't just say translate this to English. You have to say translate Spanish, Portuguese, French. And it would be nice if it was able to do that for you.
Yeah, but that's kind of wasting their processing power if you know what language you're trying to translate from. Like, I could see it being useful to have a separate, maybe, identifier service if you had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you know what language it is, that's kind of... Why waste their cycles translating it? How will they know what language to translate into?
Well, I imagine you've set some sort of default in your cookie or whatever to always translate to English or whatever language you want. But I don't know. It would make Google seem all the cooler if they were able to do this. You know, they're all about the bells and whistles and things.
Yeah, there's some research. It's actually not that hard to identify the language of written text. You can base it basically on letter pairs. You don't even have to know common words.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a large enough sample inputs, you can do it for hundreds of languages pretty accurately.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and we also had another letter from someone concerning the text messaging. Thanks so much for your program. You guys really know your stuff. Well, we try sometimes. You mentioned emailing to T-Mobile. What is the end email address for T-Mobile, Sprint, and Nextel? I know Verizon's is the number at Verizon.net. I've tried to research T-Mobile's, but no one knows. Not even the reps or the stores. I think they know. They just don't want to tell you for some reason. Anyway, I can tell you that domain is tmomail.net, tmomail.net, preceded by the 10-digit phone number. Thanks, Javier, for sending that in. Bernie, do you know what Sprint is?
Yes, it's your Sprint PCS mobile phone number at messaging.sprintpcs.com.
Okay, and does anybody know some of those other ones that were mentioned? Nextel, for instance. Nobody?
No. No one knows.
Silence here. Wow. Okay, well,
I'm amazed.
You have AT&T.
Here's one. Mobile.mysingular.com is for singular, I guess. What else? I'm just looking through the OTH archives.
Yes, Bernie, go ahead.
I'm really surprised that this easy way of sending sequential... someone could easily write a script to generate spam sequentially to all these... if you just know the area code and the exchange for different mobile carriers, you could just send tons of spam. I don't want to give anybody ideas or not, but I'm just amazed that more people don't get more spam on their cell phones using that technique.
I was about to say, I think they must have really good spam filters, because I actually have gotten spam, but like twice at the most. So perhaps they're doing some really good filtering, or perhaps... I feel like someone's thought of this. You know, obviously someone has, because I've received spam. But I feel like there must be something at play that keeps spam from getting through.
Okay, well, they're giving speeches and things now on Almanar, and looks like more...
I think I recognize some of those clerics from CNN, but not in a positive way.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not given positive play on CNN.
Right.
I think if you were able to see this, maybe it would be even less positive play there. But, yeah, we are simulcasting the sound of Almanar Live, the station that you can go to prison for if you help somebody to get it. So I can imagine the trouble we're in for doing this, broadcasting it more than it's ever been broadcast in New York now, over 50,000 watts, going up over the Empire State Building, hitting four different states, and going out over the Internet. Think what people are being infected with right now. Yeah.
I don't feel very infected because I don't really understand it.
Well, maybe that's the key. Ignorance is bliss, after all. Okay, speaking of fun things to do, this is something that I was playing with yesterday Off the Wall. We're talking about Google. We're talking about the ability to recognize certain things and I guess how lots and lots of people combining efforts can contribute to a particular outcome. There's a site on the net that allows you to identify objects or animals or organs or what have you simply by asking you a certain number of questions. What I'd like to do here, you guys familiar with this? It's called 20Q.net. I just found it the other day, and I was amazed. I was amazed at how it was able to figure out what it was I was thinking of so quickly without me apparently giving out vital information. I was thinking of a stingray, actually, right after that guy got killed. And it got it without asking a lot of really specific questions. It asked things like, is it made out of wood and things like that. It was able to somehow do process of elimination, and it scared me. It really
it's
did.
It's a very simple thing. I mean, I wrote something like that mm-hmm. in college. It's not terribly complicated. You're just going down a tree until you get to the end.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, let's test it out. Let's think of something.
I have the thing.
Okay.
Should I say what the thing is?
I don't know what you mean.
I have the thought. Do you want to just be an intermediary, or shall I say out loud what it is I'm thinking of?
Well, this isn't like Kreskin's ESP here. We're trying to identify an object.
This radio show.
Uh-huh.
This radio show.
No. Let me explain. You can't have things like that, things that are really like that specific. No, I'm talking about objects, things that people all over the world would know about.
2600 magazine.
No. You're not getting it. No, it's not specific people, specific commercial products or anything like that. It's something like a cloud, a car. You know, I had it get a curbstone the other day. That wasn't bad. You know, things like that. So, okay, let's think of something.
A midget.
A midget?
I like it.
I
Do
don't
it.
Think so.
Well, you
no,
might
I
find
don't
it.
Don't know where you come up with these things. No, let's think of something, you know, that something that we is in the studio, maybe.
A radio.
A booger.
A radio. Okay. What do you think? What kind of radio?
Shortwave.
Just keep it simple. Just a radio.
I don't know. The radio seems too simple.
A clock radio. An alarm clock radio.
A clock radio.
Yes, an alarm clock radio that wakes people up in the morning.
This I like. Okay, so the first question is it classified as animal, vegetable, or mineral? Actually, it's animal, vegetable, mineral, other, or unknown. So I guess we can agree that it's other, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so next question. Do you use it at night?
No.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess you do.
No, maybe.
It's night right now. You'd be listening to the show.
Well, it's a radio, yes. So yes, you do use it at night. Okay. Sorry. Is it made of plastic?
It could be.
Yes, it's made of plastic. I've never seen a metallic, just pure metal clock alarm. Does it usually have four corners?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, eight.
Is it worth a lot of money?
No.
Nope. Okay. Does it sweat?
No.
See, this is what I mean. Questions like this. Does not sweat. Can it be easily moved?
Yes.
All right. Does it have lots of buttons? And let me just say, the possible answers are yes, no, unknown, irrelevant, sometimes, maybe, probably, doubtful, usually, depends, rarely, or partly. So any of those you can use.
Let's go with usually. See if that screws it up.
Does it have lots of buttons? What do you say, Bernie?
Or it could be depends.
Uh-huh.
Depends, you know, like, how many buttons it has.
Mike, break the tie.
Yeah, like four.
It has buttons. I don't know about lots of buttons.
Okay, which one?
Maybe.
No.
Maybe.
No, not no. We know it's got to have...
All right, yes.
Maybe it could.
Usually.
Maybe, okay. Do you need batteries to use it?
No.
I would say sometimes.
Not always.
Sometimes.
Well,
yeah.
You certainly did. You had no power this last week.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, but you have clock radios, and I'm sure...
Sometimes. Most clock radios you just plug in, not battery
sometimes,
at all.
Sometimes, I could debate this. Can it be heard?
Yes.
Yes, it can be heard. Can you speak into it?
No.
Well, you can't. You're wasting your time. Yeah, no. Does it make music?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really make the music, but it plays the music. Does it store information?
Technically, yes. It stores the time you want to get up.
That is information. And by the way, that's 13 questions so far. Does it use numbers?
Yes.
Clock, time, numbers, yeah. Can it be used to talk to others?
No.
Is it used for entertainment?
Yes.
Use a clock radio for entertainment?
You turn on the radio.
I guess.
Sometimes, I would say.
Can you read it?
Technically,
you read the clock.
That's reading. I am guessing that it is a clock radio.
Whoa.
18 questions.
Whoa.
How is that?
Yeah,
huh?
See, but
that is
I don't know.
Listen, I could have a conversation with you that would go on longer than this, and you still wouldn't get it. I know it.
You're just talking about lots of data that's been input by lots of people over a lot of... Like, it's basically, it's literally building a tree. And every time it comes to a place...
Don't kill the magic by explaining it scientifically. Look, it's a computer that just...
Doesn't know, then it asks you.
Read my mind. Yeah, but okay, fine. But I'm just saying, I'm able to explain to this thing quicker than a lot of people I know when I'm talking or I'm thinking about.
Okay, zygote.
The algorithm is actually...
One thing I would like to do...
I don't think it'll get it.
The algorithm is actually slightly more complicated than you described because there are people who might give different answers to some of the corner cases.
Okay, and also it raises some issues sometimes. When you have an answer, it objects to some of the things that you say. And it objected to our answer, is it used for entertainment? You said yes, I say no.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
Who's it to argue with us?
Well, this is just based on what other people have told it.
We have a whole panel of experts here.
Okay, but I just thought of a new game. I just thought of this moment, actually, and this could be really cool. We basically go around the room and answer each question as it starts, all right, as it comes across, except none of us know what the object is. And at the end, it's going to identify something. It's going to guess, is this something? And whatever that is, somebody has to bring to the next 2600 meeting. How's that? All right, so I get to start this thing. I get this. It's so serious, I even turned Al Menard down for this. I'm not going to say animal or vegetable because that could just be disgusting. I'm going to say other, just to make it interesting. So is it classified as animal, vegetable, mineral, other, or unknown? Okay, and then we're going to go around the room.
But what is unknown?
Which way?
Let's not even go there. Who knows? We might get space aliens or something. Okay, so Jim, now you have the first question. We'll go Jim, Arseny, Red Hack, Redbird, Mike, Kevin, Bernie, and then I guess back to me. Jim, your question is it square-shaped?
I would say no.
No, okay. Now, Arseny, does it live above ground? You got to answer quickly.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, and now Red Hack, can you buy it?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right, Redbird, is it used for entertainment?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Mike, is it an emotion?
No, I don't think so.
What a strange question. Kevin, do you use it at night?
Yes.
All right. Bernie, could you send it in the mail?
No.
All right.
It might die.
Now it's back to me. Is it used for transportation? I'll say,
usually.
You got to answer quick.
I'll say irrelevant. Only because I never said that before. Now back to Jim. Can any age group use it?
Technically, yes.
Yes, okay. Arseny, can you make sounds with it?
Depends.
Depends. All right. Red Hack, does it usually have four corners? I know it already asked.
That would be painful.
I don't know why. Does it usually have four corners?
Sometimes.
Okay. Redbird, is it made of plastic?
Sometimes.
By the way, that's 13 questions so far. Mike, do you need batteries to use it?
Of course you do.
You do, yes. Kevin, is it worth a lot of money?
No.
You see, if you'd said yes, someone would have brought something worth a lot of money to the meeting. Nice going. Okay.
My bad.
My turn. It's Bernie's turn. Is it comforting?
Yes.
All right.
And by the way, you can't mail it really because it would violate postal regulations.
All right. Does it have a cable? I'm going to say sometimes.
Oh, God.
All right. We only have, I think, two more questions before it's going to guess something. Jim, can it help you find your way?
That's really stretching it. I have to say no.
All right. Arseny, does it come in specific sizes?
Yes. Oh,
God. Yes. I am guessing that it is a fetish. Oh, my God. I'm
going down
this is
line.
Just great, guys. Now, someone's going to bring a fetish to the meeting. That is just what we need. Well, that's the first time I've ever gotten it to do that. Thank you. Thank you so much for raising the bar on my favorite website now. Is it a fetish? All right, our phone number is 212-209-2900. Whoops, I've turned Al Menard down. I'm sorry. No disrespect intended there. Looks like some kind of drama on the television set right now. Looks like, their version of 90210 or something.
I would say it's Desire.
I don't know, but they seem pretty... They're having a serious conversation, and I guess you'll have to just tune in yourself to find out what's really going on. The voice of the illegal terrorist-funded television station here on Off the Hook. 212-209-2900.
According to the U.S. government, this station is not merely terrorist-funded. It is itself a terrorist organization.
So then all these people were watching, going through their various problems of life, are terrorists too. Look how innocent she looks. Okay. Again, our email address, oth@2600.com, or you can write to us, care of Off the Hook. Actually, I did that wrong. Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 120 Wall Street.
Tenth floor.
Walter's not here. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Red Hack.
10th floor.
New York. Oh,
gosh. New York, 10005. You know, we'll just have to take you out of the room every time this happens now.
Damn you.
Why'd you go over my line?
I don't know. That's right, because he confused me. I'm sorry. I stepped on Jim's line.
It's all right.
Wow.
It's all right.
I've never done that before.
It's all right.
Okay, so yeah, please send us snail mail or send us regular mail. Oh, a lot of people wrote in also with BitTorrents to help us out with the high-quality Hope audio. And here's one of them, tracker.pseudohacker.org:6969/. Spread the word, torrent of the 128 KPBS Hope number 6 audio. Anybody else have any other things to contribute?
That one worked. That was the one I was going to read. So.
Okay, good. So that will allow you to download that. Of course, you can always get the DVDs from us, too, or you can download the low-fidelity versions as well.
All three you can do.
You can do all three. Did I mention the videos? The videos are also available? Okay, 212-209-29...
Is that what you meant by DVD?
Well, there's a DVD of audio, too.
Oh,
yeah.
That's confusing.
Yeah, so you have got this thing going on. Actually, this is like a two-part story. First of all, I heard this on the radio last week. New York priest suspected of sexually abusing children but protected from expulsion by Catholic law are being required to enter a lifelong supervision program or leave the church, according to the New York Archdiocese. It's weird because they, I guess when you first hear this story, it's like, well, what's going on with these people? All they have to do is just resign. They can get away with this. They don't even, like, face prison or anything like that. But apparently we're looking at cases that are beyond the statute of limitations. And apparently there's nothing that they can do other than this, which is kind of crazy. But then this led to something even crazier in Ohio. I'm not sure if anybody saw this. An Ohio legislative panel last week rubber-stamped an unprecedented process that would allow sex offenders to be publicly identified and tracked even if they've never been charged with a crime. Yeah. No one in attendance voiced opposition to the rules submitted by Attorney General Jim Petro's office to the Joint Committee on Agency Rule Review, consisting of members of the Ohio House and Senate. That's somebody's phone ringing in Lebanon. The committee's decision... Hang on. All right, she's having a conversation. The committee's decision not to interfere with the rules puts Ohio in a position to become the first state to test a civil registry. I don't know about you guys, but this is scary. I mean, it's scary enough having priests wandering around who don't get charged with any crimes. Yeah, that's bad. That's horrible. But look at the reaction. Look at what people are doing. They're basically saying, okay, if there isn't enough evidence and or maybe too much time has gone by, we can simply make a list and make that public, even though there's no legality behind it.
I don't understand how this could possibly be legal, but in this day and age, who knows?
Well, fear makes people do strange things, and of course, a lot of people are freaking out over this kind of thing. The rules spell out how the untried process would work. It would largely treat a person placed on the civil registry the same way a convicted sex offender is treated under Ohio's so-called Megan's Law. The person's name, address, and photograph would be placed on a new internet database, and the person would be subjected to the same registration and community notification requirements and restrictions on where he could live. However, a civilly declared offender could petition the court to have their name removed from the new list after 6 years.
How do you get put on this list if you're not convicted of a crime?
I imagine anybody can
voluntarily say, hi, my name is Mark David Carr, whatever his name was. I killed John Bernay. Put me on your sex registry list.
Well, he's an exception to somebody who would do it himself. But I'm sure all sorts of people would line up to put him on the list because they just think he's, you know, kind of weird.
Exactly. But the point is, you have the punishment, the moral approbation, the restrictions on what you can do for a job, where you can live, and there's no crime that you're convicted of. This is stunning.
There's no burden. Right. I mean, didn't they do this a few years ago? They're probably still doing it now. with people who are arrested with suspected hookers in various cities. They have their mugshots and their license plates displayed on the police department's website, and that's before they were ever convicted of anything.
That was Chicago, and that was a few months ago.
It's also a few years ago. I remember this going on for a while, so I guess it's still going on.
Yeah.
That kind of thing just really rubs me the wrong way because, arresting somebody and convicting them are two very different things. All right. 212-209-2900. One other story before we go to the phones related to this. Young people using Windows Live Messenger on MSN Messenger to chat online with friends can now make a report to police with one click if they are concerned their online buddy is a sex offender.
This is in the UK only, I thought.
Is that in the UK only?
Yeah.
You're right, it is the UK.
Do you have to be a young person to use this feature?
Can you see where this is going?
That's obvious.
I'm going to report you as a sex offender if you don't pay me this amount of money or say something that I want you to say or just because I feel like doing it and I want to be all powerful.
This is MSN, right?
This is not MSN. This is, this is ceop.gov.uk.
No, the service.
Oh, Microsoft, MSN Messenger.
Yeah, they were having a problem with their chat rooms being, mm-hmm. like, a place where sex offenders would, find things to offend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of their chat rooms are being shut down. So I guess this is, like...
Well, I think that it wouldn't be terrible if maybe it did it and then attached like a chat log or something.
Well, okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
Because then at least there'd be something to look at. And if it was just somebody messing around, then it would
be. Got to be some really bored officer in the UK police land, like who's reading all these stupid chats between. You know, people and their friends who are like, I'm going to press the sex offender button now.
Irrespective, at least that would attach something to the report.
I'm just saying, it's going to be far more common than actual sex offenders.
Yeah.
Well, according to it's called the Child Exploitation and Online Protection Center. Seems like they're at cross purposes there. the chief executive of the CEOP Center and chair of VGT, which is the Virtual Global Task Force, Jim Gamble says, behind the report abuse button will sit police and intelligence officers who have been specially trained to tackle child sex abuse. We will tell you how to capture information and how to seize online discussions and then proactively do all we can to track down the perpetrator. It's interesting to see where this is going to go. 212-209-2900. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion in 28 Parts is one of the shows on Al Minhar, and I think it's important to let the BAI audience know that among the various shows, there's anti-Semitic, straightforward anti-Semitic content, such as the Protocols of the Elders of Zion in a series in 28 Parts on Al Minhar. I think you might want to reconsider your position. It's not as simple as the Palestinians are gravely oppressed. There's no question about it.
Okay,
but
before you continue, I just want to ask you, what do you think, hang on, calm down, what do you think our position is?
WBAI.
Okay, you're not listening. You got to listen, folks. That's what we're trying to get across here. Listen. Now, people think we're taking the position that we support what they're saying. No, we support the fact that you have the right to listen to it. And I don't support Nazi stations or KKK stations or whatever else might be out there, but you don't get sent to prison simply for accessing it.
Just because they say something that you disagree with doesn't mean they should go to prison.
They can say something we all disagree with, you know. But when you start saying you're going to go to prison if you listen to that, that's when all of a sudden more people, I think, with a brain in their head are going to want to listen to it and see just what it's all about. Okay, look at this. Only one phone call? Are people afraid to call us?
It might be a text message.
Yeah, it might be a text message. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Speak up.
Yes, hello?
Yes, go ahead. Fast.
Yes. A comment on the speech you just gave from Al Minhar. This is a speech for Hassan Nasrallah.
Uh-huh.
And it was given to the Lebanese, not to a hatred speech against the Israelis or to anything. It just says, for the Lebanese to fight against the Israelis' occupation of Lebanon.
Wow.
That was the speech. The portion is not from Al Minhar TV.
Uh-huh.
It's another web page belonged to Hezbollah, to Al Minhar TV.
Okay, well, I'm getting a lot of interesting information about just who said what about whom. But the point is, you know, people are listening and judging for themselves. That's really what this is all about. But thanks for your call. Let's go to another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, dear. Let's go down here. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Hello.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Hi. This is unrelated to your current topic, but somewhat related to the whole terrorism, flying planes in the building
okay.
thing. And I'm just curious if you guys know, it seems only when I'm listening to WBAI, which is just not the only radio station I listen to, but where I am, I don't know if this is common, you know about it, every once in a while something breaks into the signal,
mm-hmm.
and I hear this radio crosstalk back and forth. And I could never figure out what it was for years. I was wondering what it was. You know, my paranoid times, I was like, you know, whoa, what is that? What is that? finally, I figured out what it is. Is it's airplane. We live on the approach to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm hearing, because they're giving things like positions and altitudes, I think I'm listening to the cockpit talking to the tower.
Well,
is that possible?
You're probably getting a harmonic of some sort, because I know that radio broadcasts from airplanes take place right above the FM dial. Bernie, do you know if it's possible it could bounce down to 99.5 somehow?
Yeah, I don't know if you're the gentleman who, the listener who emailed us about this, but
are
you that person?
No, I'm not.
Somebody emailed us about this just a week or so ago with the same exact problem. And,
it's not a problem.
Yeah, this is actually a phenomenon. This is a very common thing with sort of cheaply designed or poorly designed FM receivers. It's probably like
don't diss the guy's radio there. That's very personal.
Like it's probably like a clock radio or something. It's not a high quality FM receiver. It has very poor filtering. It's easily overloaded by a stronger RF signal. As Emmanuel just noted, the aeronautical VHF band is right above in frequency the FM broadcast band.
So will it happen with any radio station, or does it have to be right in the middle of the dial? What's the thing about?
Well, if it's a weak station, it's more likely to be overridden by a strong airplane signal coming down over you. But if it's a really strong station, that's like strong FM station that's right near you, it's less likely to be overridden. FM, you have this thing called a capture effect, where the strongest signal wins. So that's what's happening.
Well, how close do these airplanes come to you?
Oh, they come right over here. I'm in Morris County, New Jersey, and they fly right over on their way to Newark. This is where the big noise, they had a big movement to cut the airport noise and all that.
How many feet above your house would you say they are?
Oh, God, I saw one pass over me when I was in a little town called Chester, which is slightly higher elevation. It was a foggy night. I went outside. I could see right in the windows of the airplane. I could tell who was reading a newspaper, who had glasses on. I mean, that was really scary. That should have been reported as a near miss.
Or near hit.
They fly, you know, they're on the approach. They're taking off and they're approaching. You know, they circle overhead, too, you know, in the whole stacking thing that they do.
See, I think something that close would actually override even a strong signal. In much the same way that a lot of XM broadcasts now, people are hearing Howard Stern on 88.1 because a lot of people set their satellite radio to broadcast on their regular radio, and they pick that frequency as a default, and it actually interferes with existing stations.
Ooh, Emmanuel.
Yes, go ahead, Bernie.
XM just got busted by the FCC for this because some of their receivers or their little FM microtransmitters, like you plug into your cigar lighter, so your radio, your FM radio can do the XM broadcast. XM just got cited with a notice of apparent liability by the FCC because some of these things were too strong,
mm-hmm.
and they were bleeding as you just noted, the signals were bleeding over into nearby cars, and people were hearing stuff on a frequency they didn't want to hear. So,
yeah, imagine you're listening to your local NPR station, enjoying a nice little concerto or something like that, and all of a sudden, Howard Stern comes blasting by for as long as you're next to the whoever is listening to him in the car next door or whatever. That's frightened a lot of people. They think that he's taking over. Okay, let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, dear. You know, one day I'd like to get a phone where the light goes out when the person disconnects. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? The light stays on for like 5 seconds afterwards. There's no way to know. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hi, what's up?
I want to piggyback on that last caller. I'm on the Jersey Shore right now, and for the last couple of years, I listen to airplanes all the time, and I think it's something along the coast here where it's a little more wide open. I get a lot. I was on the beach a little earlier in Asbury Park on by, and I was just I heard a couple of planes, and I looked up, and I could see them right overhead. Sometimes they're high, sometimes they're low. So it happens all the time on BAI, all over the place. It happened to me in North Jersey.
Yeah, and I imagine it happens. I used to get this around 102. I used to get it around 107 in the low 90s.
It's really just because of poor receiver performance. And
well, it's also the fact that the airplane is right above you. There's nothing getting in the way. There's no trees. There's no buildings. It's a direct line of sight thing. It will overpower if there's a harmonic of some sort.
But good receiver. Well, first of all, aviation equipment is usually very good, and I would probably guess that there's no harmonics of significance being transmitted from the plane. But also, it's really the poor receiver that's to blame. And most commercial receivers, stuff that you can buy in the store are going to be relatively low quality to keep the production costs down. And
you know what's interesting? And I worked for an airline for a long time, and it's usually altitude reading. It's a changing course usually when I hear it. I can hear them say going to a higher altitude or lower altitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting. Anyway,
it's also interesting. Did you note that these are in different accented English languages sometimes?
Yeah, well, our caller has left us, but yes, I imagine that you would hear that many times.
What's interesting is that the international language for aviation is English, no matter where in the world you go.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll hear them say these things in English, but a lot of times it's very heavily accented in different tones.
Yes, taking the phone call. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys could give the address for the Hope 6 DVDs again.
The address? You mean website?
The website.
This
torrent.
Let's see. Where is that? Hang on. Do you have that, Redbird?
You're looking for the torrent?
Yeah, the torrent.
Yeah, the torrent. Let me find the torrent URL.
Okay. I'm finding it on paper.
tracker.pseudohacker.org/6969.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck with that. 212-209-2900. We only have a few minutes left. The last few moments of Al-Manar TV. Looks like some kind of phone interview. Well, she's talking live into the camera, but talking to some guy in a speakerphone. Who knows what they're talking about?
Even if it was in English, I don't think it would be very interesting to watch.
He's saying something about he's getting harmonics from airplanes flying over.
Okay, one more call. Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, dear. This will be the last one. Good evening. You're on the air. Okay, you know what? That is the last one. The dial tone wins. How about that? Until we get a phone that can handle that kind of thing. Write to us again, OTH@2600.com. Let us know what you think. Suggestions, information, that sort of thing. Be sure to stay tuned for the Personal Computer Show coming up next. And we're back again next week with another exciting edition of Off the Hook here on the Voice of Freedom, WBAI, New York.
you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. It's